All right. Welcome back, my people. La de hill. It's me, Namo, N to the A to the triple M-O. It's actually one M, but, you know, these days everybody's doing rap. So me too, I've started also rapping the name. N to the A to the triple M-O, Namo. Yeah, it's me. So welcome to Don't Forget to Flush, that podcast that is all about the African Renaissance culture commentary, and very importantly, toilet seat conversations. And so I'm very excited to be out here in Houston. Yeah, we have a Houston thing going on. And traveled all the way, brought out my whole equipment, the entire team, you know, all of us, a team of one person. And I came out to talk to someone who, in the community, in our groups, her voice has always been a solid place to go to hear truth. And she's on Facebook, she's on YouTube. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so excited to be here interviewing, having a conversation with the one and the only Ada Enugu.
What up?
What a welcome intro, right? Like what up?
I know. What's up?
What's up?
I am live. We are live.
We're right here. But we're live in your house, though. I mean, like, yeah. this house was a lot of, it cost a lot of ruckus on social media when you talked about buying your own place. So that we should talk about as a different topic. But today, I'm excited to be here because one of the videos, and by the way, guys, if you're listening to this, the profile is Ada Enugu, am I right? Tell the folks about it.
So actually, my personal Facebook page is Ada Enugu.
Okay.
Then on Instagram, I'm like Baby Doke.
It's again?
Baby Doke. Oh, God. And then I'm just all over the place. And then my blogging page, vlogging or video blogging, whatever you call it, it's actually Unfiltered Ada Enugu.
Ada Enugu Unfiltered.
Yeah. So I know it's Unfiltered-Ada Enugu.
Oh, Unfiltered dash
Ada Enugu. I have to connect, you know. I have to connect too. Because I don't want people to think that I have, you know, three personalities. You know, Baby Doke, Ada Enugu, and then Unfiltered.
How do you say, what's the spelling to Baby Doke? Is it, oh, Baby Doke?
Baby Doke. It's an English and Igbo. And,
Ada Enugu, you don't feel to disappoint. Eh? You
are not. Baby, B-A-B-Y. D-I-O-K-A-Y. Baby Doke. You know, I'm okay. It's not my fault.
Okay. You know, the interesting thing is that when anyone speaks to you, the last thing that they will think is that it's like you have to tell them that you are very Igbo.
Yeah.
Like people don't talk to you and then they'll be like, oh, she's Igbo. It's like you are the one who's having to tell them that you're Igbo.
No. They always think that I just came. They think I'm fresh off the boat, so they don't believe me when I tell them I've been here like over 20 years. They don't believe me.
For real?
Yeah, people don't believe me. But then in the work environment, I'm completely a different person.
Now you're back to the personalities. Please tell us about that.
Oh, so at work, my white girl comes out. That's where the paycheck comes. So I have to behave myself.
For real?
Nice. So at work, I'm more professional.
Okay.
So I kind of separate my professional life from my personal life. So I don't add, you know, coworkers, you know, bosses or whatever. But it's so funny you said that one of my coworkers found one of my videos.
So, and she was like,
he called me. He's actually Nigerian. He called me. He said, do you have a twin? I was like, I know you say you have a twin. I was like, yeah, I do have a twin. He was like, oh, I think it's your twin that I saw on, you know, on video. It must not be you because it's like
a whole different person.
Yeah, a different person. It's like I see you at work with your coin, you know, you're, you know, going up and down the elevator. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden I came on social media. I guess people were sharing my video.
Yeah.
So we had like a mutual friend that shared my video. He was like, I know this person. I work with this person.
But you must have said it wasn't me. It wasn't me. It's my twin. With your best white girl
accent.
That's
the good thing about having a twin. Because actually, I do have a twin sister.
That's very true.
That's the good thing about having a twin sister. So I can always blame the naughty side to, you know, give it to her. And when I want to be professional, I'll be professional. So he was so shocked. And then he went to one of our co-workers and was like, wait a minute, is this not EJ? Like, you know, this is EJ.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she was, my other co-worker, she said it laughing. I was like, yeah, that's her.
So she does, that means your the other person knows more about the profile then.
Yeah, but I don't work with them anymore. I've left the company, but he called me for that. And he was like,
did you say you left the company?
Yeah, I'm no longer with the company, but they're
but
still
it's not because they found out. It's not like, okay, once people find out, you just be like, deuces, I'm out.
No, not like that. Me, anywhere that I can't do deuces when you have bills to pay.
Nobody's doing deuces in America. You can't just be doing deuces. Ah, unemployment cannot cover mortgage.
Bow. So, yeah, so.
No, that's very cool. That's very cool. So tell me this. How long have you been doing this? Because I know a lot of people are like, they run into your videos with you speaking your truth. And you're saying things that is the truth. And then they're like, no, it's your truth. You're like, no, it's the truth. And they have this whole back and forth with you about your opinions. But how long have you been doing it?
When did I even start? I think I started late last year.
No way.
Yeah, late last year.
So with all these fights that I've been having on social media based on the things you've been saying, you're saying that all this just started last year?
Yeah, I started last. I mean, Adenugu has been a troublemaker on Facebook for how many years now? I mean, I joined Facebook like in the early, when did Facebook start? Back then.
Yeah.
But you know, I everybody keeps on saying, oh, you should start blogging. Oh, you're so funny. I enjoy reading your page. Mm-hmm. Whenever I get bored, I go to your page. So it's like, I've had like about a couple of friends set up blogging page for me.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I guess to me, I kept on saying, this is not what I want. Like, because to me, when you start blogging, it becomes an assignment.
Mm.
Unlike when, if I have something to write, I can just write it on Facebook.
Okay.
But now you have people that are expecting,
the expectation is now there. And then it's like you have to feed mm-hmm. the beast, as it were.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I'm not a, you know, I don't want to write. Like, I left school how many years ago? I'm not about to start writing term paper.
I don't think that's what it's about, but okay.
But at the same time, I'm like, I don't want to write. It feels like I'm writing an assignment.
Okay.
So I'm like, I don't want to blog. I think I'm better with videos.
So what's driving it though? So just to be clear, you've been at this a while personally, just mm-hmm. from all the reference on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And then you sort of put it together or packaged it together as something you want to do late last
mm-hmm.
year.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But interestingly, the controversies that has generated from your commentary and your videos. And guys, if you're listening to this, you have to check her out on Facebook or YouTube, or even if you just follow her and you see some of the things she says, it's like she says the funniest, randomest things and people just end up fighting in the comment section. Like, I always feel like your comment section is like where Royal Rumble happens.
They're fighting their ancestors, not me.
They're arguing with their keyboard.
They argue, exactly. They're keyboard warriors.
That is so funny. So what drives that? What drives your... Would you say it's passion, or what would you attribute to the fact that this is who they are seeing and you've packaged it and it's now something that people that can watch on unfiltered at Adenugu?
I think to me, it's like whatever you do in life, you have to be true to yourself. When you're honest, I feel like when it comes to social media, it's all about packaging. People just tend to pretend and only show the happy side and make it seem like everything is perfect.
Everything
and
is A-okay.
Yeah. So, but to me, I've gotten to a point in my life, I'm like, I don't care. It is my life. Mm-hmm. I do whatever I want to do. I pay my bill. I do whatever I want to do. I say whatever I want to say. The only time I would not say it if it's going to stop my paycheck. If it's not going to stop my paycheck, oh well. But, you know, I just feel like people need to be more realistic and stop all this fake just to please other people. And I guess people just like my honesty. And
that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, so you have to live your truth.
So, ladies and gentlemen, as you keep listening, please send us an email if you can about what we're about to talk about. You can get us on don'tforgettoflushpod@gmail.com. Please shoot us an email. And you can follow us on social media at don'tforgettoflush on Instagram, but on Twitter is Don't Forget to Flush P, the letter P, on Twitter. And we also have a Facebook page. Don't forget to flush. Just follow us, find us, you know, click on our link and please connect with us and listen to us everywhere podcasts can be found. So just putting that out there. So, Ada, it's not your real name.
No.
Is that something you want to talk about or?
Yeah. You want my employers to find me? You want me to be jobless?
Okay. We're going to stay with Ada. Don't kill it now, because if anything you do right now is going to change the face of this. We still want you to keep going for a couple of years. Trust me, now that you've packaged it. So we don't even want to know your government name. But we will not be surprised when you talk about yourself in a third person. Yeah. Your videos, and you reveal what your name is. So folks have to follow you to actually know when that happens. Okay. So let's pivot quickly to the main topic of today, right? It's all about the African Renaissance. Mm-hmm. That's the way this podcast is set up. Mm-hmm. And you know, you put out a video, I think it was a very recent video, and you were talking about something, and you know, we listened to it, and the folks on our team was like, yo, you have to spend some time with this lady because she's the real deal. And it's something that people have taken for granted and it's not talked about, but you titled it in a very powerful manner. You called it The Power of Loneliness.
Yes.
And, you know, with everything going on right now, whether it's mental health or anything about, you know, relationships and abuse and Me Too and, you know, all that, is this underlining question that nobody really just tries to answer, and it has to do with what you talked about loneliness. So let me ask you this. Now, anyone who wants to catch up the backstory, please go watch our video. It's on Facebook. It's on YouTube. It's been shared. But the power of loneliness, is this, how and why is this affecting Africans in the diaspora? Let's start from there first.
Okay, so I think when it comes to loneliness, it's not only Africans. People feel lonely, whether you're, it has nothing to do with your skin color.
Okay.
But I think the pressure of marriage is what's, especially in African culture, is why it seems like it's worse in the African culture, but it's not. And when people talk about loneliness, they only think it pertains to, you know, single people.
Okay.
Loneliness pertains to everybody, even married, single, gay, lesbians, whatever you want to call yourself.
The whole nine. Yeah,
loneliness
applies.
So it's like, I was actually listening to the news the other day, because me, I usually have the TV on, the news, local news, when I'm getting ready in the morning. And they were actually talking about how, you know, suicide has drastically increased since social media. So I feel like, you know, especially as a single person, it's like everybody's like, oh, you should get married. But one thing people forget is that being married does not solve your loneliness. Mm. And the danger of loneliness is that when you find yourself in that situation, you start reaching out to people. You shouldn't even be reaching out to, like, in terms of, you know, like, okay, let me step back. Okay. Like, for example, as a human being, there's sometimes you have that urge of being with somebody the opposite sex, or if you're gay, you want to be with a gay partner. You want to be with a lover.
You just want to be with someone.
Somebody.
Else, or around,
yeah,
someone else.
Around somebody else. Okay. Yeah, that, you know, gets you excited. Not only, you know, girlfriends can, you know, like sometimes my girlfriends will be like, if you feel lonely, you can call me. I'm like, I don't want to talk to you. I can talk to you, but that's not the kind of feelings that I want. You know, you cannot fulfill that void for me. So you're not what I'm looking for right now. I want Emeka. I want Namdi. I want, you know.
You want to just talk to somebody else.
Yeah, I want
on the other side. But you see, that thing that you said, it's like, it's very transparent and honest, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what really resonated in the video, because folks who were watching it was like, you were saying something that seemed to apply to everyone. You know,
oh yeah,
I'm married, and I know several times when it seems like I'm on the road, I'm traveling, and for me it's like there are things that are going on real time that I mm-hmm. feel like I need to talk to my wife, but maybe she's at work or I can't reach her or I'm on a flight. And mm-hmm. it's like, for me, it's short-lived because I know by the time I get to a location, I can call. So I can sort of relate with what that feels like, you know, from a sense of somebody being in that state for a long time. But for me, prior to my getting married, I guess I was so caught up in work and the hustle mm-hmm. And changing locations and things like that, that I don't think I will put up my hand and be like, with regards to relationships or with regards to the significant other, that I'm like the best voice. So when you were talking about it, it resonated with me as well as other people, that led me to want to ask a question and say, who has it worse? The person who's single or the person who is engaged or married or in a relationship?
I think,
because that's the unique thing. People don't believe that there's even any loneliness in that.
I think it depends on the type, the person you married.
Okay.
If you feel like you're married, you're happily married, you're married to somebody that you love, that loves you and all this stuff, like, you have to have that person that gives you peace. And if you don't have that, whether you're married or not, you're going to be lonely. Because I've been in situations where I'm in a relationship, but I am so lonely because I can't relate to him. We don't have that, you know. He can't relate to me. He doesn't understand me. I don't understand him. But then I say to myself, okay, physically we're there, you know, but spiritually we're not on the same page.
And even mentally, right?
Yeah, mentally we're not on the same page. Like, even in terms of conversation, there's some things I'm like, okay, wow. And then you start asking yourself, why am I even with this person? And then you come to realize that you are with this person because you were lonely. And you felt like this person is now going to solve that loneliness. But then you came to realize that you two are not even compatible, which even pushed you further away. And now it's even worse when you find yourself in that situation, because it's like you have to make decision. Okay, do I go back to being lonely again?
Yeah.
Or do I still remain with this person and then put this, you know, smiley face so everybody would think that I'm happy? And then you're like, okay, Now I don't want to start dating all over again, and you know.
It's very interesting that you say that. But if you think about it, though, the person who says, so first of all, saying that you're going into a relationship because you are lonely is a very bad reason to be in a relationship.
But a lot of people that go into it, especially women, as we start turning 30, the pressure of, you need to get married, you need to have children, because we come from a culture where it's like a pattern. You go to school, once you graduate, okay, marriage. The next thing, marriage, children. Okay, you have one children, another children. Children, when are you having another third children? When are you having a boy? When are you having a girl?
And the pressure just continues.
Exactly. It's like a pattern. And it's worse for women because they always, you know, African men, some of them think that once you turn 30, you can never have your egg dry up.
There's no science behind it, but, you know, what can I say?
There's no science, but some people believe that, you know. I know some people in their 40s and they're dating, like, you know, 21-year-old, you know, girls or 23, because they believe that they're fertile. And the ones that are 30 are no longer fertile. And even on social media, there's all these groups that I'm in, people always talking about that. Oh, you know, your auntie, you're retired, you know, you expired and all that stuff. So the pressure, the family pressure, my family, they don't pressure me, because if my mom asks me for a husband, I'll ask her, where did she mold one for me? So she better not ask me for that. They don't even try to hook
But
me
not
up
as many people in our communities on the African side are actually fortunate in that.
The pressure of getting married. It's like, so as a result, everybody's like, oh my gosh, I'm about to turn 35. I don't even have a husband. I don't even have a boyfriend. I don't even have any kids. And then before you know it, you start, and that's why I said the power of loneliness, because it makes you start settling. It makes you start accepting things that you normally wouldn't accept just because you don't want to be alone.
Wow, that is a great segue. That's a great segue to the culture commentary piece, right, about this podcast. So speaking about what you've just introduced, the fact that its power is when people, at least we're speaking of loneliness regards to relationships and, you know, being by yourself.
Yes.
But you're saying that, or you're presenting this hypothesis that if there is a power at all with loneliness, it's in the fact of settling for things that you shouldn't be settling for.
Yes, because you want to escape that loneliness. So let me give you an example. There was one, you know, the guy that, you know, liked me a lot. But I wasn't attracted to this guy. He kept on chasing me and chasing me and chasing me. I'm like, I'm not interested. But at the end of it, you know, my friend kept on bothering me, you know, talk to him, you know, you're not getting any younger, talk to him. I'm like, okay, fine, I'll talk to him. I'm like, okay, first of all, I started listening to things that, you know, I'm like, okay, there are some things that the qualities I'm looking for in a man, and he doesn't have it.
Mm.
But I'm like, okay, fine, I'll talk to him. And then we started talking. I'm like, okay. I'm like, okay, I don't like his teeth or whatever, but
sorry, I'm laughing.
What about
if I didn't think it was the teeth that you were going to go for.
I know my teeth. Look at my own teeth.
No, but I'm just saying that I didn't think that was the issue. I thought you were going to start from something like, oh, you know, he doesn't.
But physical attraction is important.
He stays home all day. And
no, physical
really
attraction is important. You have to, your eyes have to like what you're seeing before you,
I
you
thought
know.
Beauty was in the eye of the beholder.
Story, forget that. Like I always say to people, if I don't see myself kissing you, we're wasting time. You know, being with somebody you're not attracted to, it's like a torture.
Mm.
Like, because I ended up dating the guy, and it's like when he calls me, I'm not even excited. Like, I'm like, oh, okay, hello. Okay, baby, I'm coming over. Okay, I'll see you at home. Like, I'm not excited because that physical attraction, we tend to undermine physical attraction. It's very important. Uh-huh.
So,
but and then compared to the guys that I'm attracted to, that I've dated, like if they even call me and say, oh, I'm coming, you know, if they even call me, just I dance to the ringer. You know, I'm like, hey!
Once the phone is ringing, you're already
hey! Chukwabaka is calling me. You know, like you're excited. And then they say, oh, I'm coming over. You run home, you know, you brush your teeth, you know, you're freshen up, you're so excited to see them. So that's the thing, you know, but then when you're lonely, you start accepting things. You're like, okay, I don't like his teeth, but anyway, it's fixable. I can book an appointment for him to go to the dentist. And, you know, you start making up excuses, you know, trying to,
to fill the void that the loneliness has created.
And the ugly side of it is that when you find yourself in that situation, you're busy trying to change the person to fit into the kind of person, the kind of woman or man that you want for yourself. And people don't like to be changed.
Yeah.
Because you're not willing to accept them. You accepted them for who they are. I mean, because you're lonely.
Yeah, not because of them. It's really because
you're lonely.
You're trying to like fuel your own.
Yes. And then now you find yourself trying to change them.
Yeah. So if you think about it this way, one of the questions that anyone would have on a cross-cultural basis is, you know, we all are here in America, right? And would you say that the implications of loneliness in the form that we've been talking about it then is more on Africans because they are far from home, or would you versus African Americans, or would you say there's some kind of shared experience that is called cross-cultural?
It's shared. And I think what
I don't even know, even beyond African Americans, like Americans everywhere.
Like I said, loneliness does not, you know, it doesn't discriminate, just like cancer or death.
Mm.
It comes anytime. And I think one of the biggest issues, social media is a great platform, but the problem, the ugly side of social media is loneliness, because people don't even know how to communicate. Like, for example, I'm the kind of person, and I keep on saying I'm going to make a video about this. I'm the kind of person, I like to reach out to people, you know. Once in a while, if you come to my mind, I'm like, oh, I haven't spoken to this person. Let me call this person to see how they're doing.
Yeah.
And every single time I call people, I'm like, hey, how are you? I haven't spoken to you in a while, you know. Oh, I'm fine. And then they say to me, I say you're living your best life on Facebook, you know. Yeah, I want to be like you when you grow up.
You know how we always use all these cliches and comments, even when we don't mean it, to be like, ah, man, this guy is living his best life now. I can, you know.
Yeah, and I get offended whenever people say that to me. I'm like, so because you see me on Facebook, or they'll say that, oh, I see you on Facebook all the time, so I know you're okay.
Yeah, but you know, we also saw on Facebook that you bought a house. Everybody would be like, you're living your best life now, Ada.
I know, but nobody, that's what I'm saying. That's the ugly side of Facebook. Everybody posts the positive things. Mm. Nobody posts the positive, you know, the negative things. Like I said to my friends, I could be in the hospital and I'm going through my phone because maybe my hand works, you know? I can be going through my phone. I'm like, oh.
And I'll still post something positive.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I love this picture I took in Jamaica 2 years ago. Let me share it. And then I'll share the picture. Everybody around me would think that I'm living my best life in Jamaica. But I'm in the hospital.
Yeah.
So that's the ugly thing about, you know, Facebook. I'm like, I don't post pictures when I'm crying. Like, you know, like it just happened last week. I reached out to a friend. I was like, oh, I haven't spoken to you in a while. She was like, oh, I see you're enjoying life. You know, I see you on Facebook all the time. I said, do you know I cried last weekend? You know?
Wait a second.
Do you know? I'm just because you're...
So you're the kind of person where when people ask you generic things like, how you doing? Or they make a comment like that, you really tell them exactly what...
No. I think she's saying that, you know, basically what she's saying is that she sees I'm living my best life. I'm happy. Everything is going perfectly well.
You've now responded by telling her that you were crying last.
And I'm like, just because she saw me smiling on Facebook does not mean that I was smiling when I posted it, you know? So... But my thing is that you can be in the hospital. Yeah. You can be sad. You can, you know, but nope, I'm not going to be crying and be like, and then I post it on Facebook.
Yeah.
Because
stays within the...
Yeah, because you don't want people to see that ugly side of you. What do people see?
So
they see you all with makeup, everything all, you know.
But would you say that Americans are more forward in talking about those things than we are? Because I don't know if the situation is purely from the perspective of not wanting to, as opposed to the fact that we've been conditioned not to. I mean, I talk about a lot of times about men and how we're raised to not cry and to have this very... The persona that we're supposed to present is supposed to be like, we fix all things, we resolve all things, we do all things because we're men. And so in that fulcrum, we're lonely in the space of not being able to share what is going on. And then we're caught in this quagmire of, oh, you know, if I do it, how will people perceive me? And then it just stays all bottled up inside.
Yeah, it's the culture. Especially
but I think,
with Africa.
So you agree with me that the African culture sort of pushes it in a worse scenario?
Yeah,
than...
especially with the whole pressure of marriage.
Okay.
Like if a single girl comes out say now, oh, I'm lonely. It's like, oh, she can't get a man. Oh, she can't get a man. So she doesn't want anybody to look at her like somebody that can, you know, catch one bobo.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everybody else around her is married. People will start asking, what's the problem? What's wrong with you? You know, nobody wants to answer those kind of questions, but it's okay. Like sometimes I call my friends, I'm like, I'm sad today, you know, and then
you're
like,
a different kind of person. You know
yeah,
that, right?
I'm like,
wait, you pick up the phone and you call your friends and you just be like,
yeah, I do that all the time because I'm like, I don't bottle things inside.
So
me,
folks,
I'm the
you
kind
heard
of,
that first.
Yeah.
Great advice. Don't bottle things up. I should try that. I should pick up the phone and be like, I'm sad today.
And
send me
and
some
people,
money.
You know, all my friends are poor. They don't send me any money.
Wow.
I'm just joking.
Wow. All your friends have just said to themselves, this is it. It's a wrap.
My friends are rich, but I don't see their money. but to me, we come from culture where people are shamed easily for speaking about how they feel. Like if you're married and, you know, a lot of women don't speak up if they're going through a lot in their marriage because it's always like they're blamed that it's their fault. okay, maybe if you had served him food at 7 p.m. and not 8 p.m.
It's always he would have.
Yeah, it's always
that everything is reduced to the things that you do.
Yeah,
not
it's your fault.
You know, your contribution is evaluated based on your cooking and cleaning and all the menial tasks that anybody else can do. Actually, you know, you can hire someone to do that. I always argue about that. Why can't you just hire somebody to do that and then set people free to actually do other things?
Because some people came to this world to suffer. I did not come to suffer.
Ah, that's a very strong one. I don't believe anybody should have come to but that is you're right. It's created through the whole cultural aspects of it.
Yeah,
sometimes some people are dedicated to that because it's sort of their preference, which is fine. I don't mind it if that is your preference. And I know a lot of people that don't mind being in that situation of the fact that, oh, you know what, I have to like meet certain expectations to show my value and all those kind of things. But that's why I feel like whether it's that scenario or the scenario of loneliness because you don't have anyone, I think the common thread is the fact that we people unconsciously reinforce the negatives on people's lives. For instance, you're married, your wife is doing the cleaning, the cooking, all the things, but you would never step in to help. So technically, by not doing anything to help, you are reinforcing that negative impression that this is all you are good for.
And they never born that man that we just sit there and I'm doing all that stuff, cleaning, like, you better come and help.
But it's true. I mean,
I'll force you to help. I guess that's why before you get married, you have to marry the kind of person that you know you'll be able to work with. You know, like if I know, I cannot marry a typical Igbo person. I'm already Igbotic. We both cannot be too Igbotic.
Wow. You're already Igbotic in your own words. Any Igbo person should be all right.
No, we need balance, you know.
Which balance again are you talking about?
For me, I need somebody, because I grew up here, you know.
Okay.
I need somebody that understands.
That is a big statement because we started this, you talked about the fact that people are unassuming. They're like, oh, you must have just come off the boat. But you've been here a long time. You literally grew up here.
Yeah, I grew up here.
Yeah, but
at the same time, because I picked the good side of, you know, Nigeria and the good side of America, and I combine both. And the ugly side, I leave America, the ugly side. And, you know, I'm not saying that I'm perfect, but me, I pick and choose which one worked for me.
Okay.
Because I don't believe that everything in Igbo culture is the best. And same with American culture.
So give me one example.
Like, I don't believe a woman should be the only cook in the house.
Okay.
I was raised that way. And then I grew up, I said, hey, bam. Hey, so I'll be cooking and, you know, you'll be watching TV and doing nothing and not helping because you're the man. Like, I don't mind cooking. I cook a lot.
That we know. In fact, from the first times that I knew you. In fact, you used to have these whole videos that you used to
cooking
put out.
Videos.
Where cooking videos where
I folks know.
Would watch and learn how to cook and all that.
Yeah. In Nigeria, I came from a culture, especially in a family where men don't cook. Men don't clean. Like my brother, he doesn't even know how to boil an egg, you know. So because
that is very interesting.
But all of us, all his sisters, I have only one brother.
Okay.
All of us, we all.
But
great
that one has nothing to do with culture, and that was because he's the only boy, and you all were just spoiling him.
No. Spoiled guinea. He got the most whooping. My mom does not do that. But it's just the culture we come from. Men
Niger
are not
parents
seen.
Can't just allow the only boy enjoy.
Oh no,
the
he
boy
got
experience.
The most whooping. No, but my thing is that no matter what, even though it's in my family where the women cooked and not the men, but it's still the culture.
Yeah.
Where men, women, one of the videos that I made is that I feel like our parents spent so much time raising their daughters on how to be husband. I mean, how to be wives, how to cater to their husband.
You know, that is a very true. That is one of the things that I talk about a lot too, about the fact that, you know, whether it's in marriage or life, nobody gave us a manual.
Yeah.
So, but there's been a lot of emphasis on parents raising their daughters to be a certain way.
Yeah, and to, in order like, to be married.
Yeah, nobody's like taking the boys and like saying,
yes,
you know,
they
you,
failed
you
our
should
boys.
Be committed, you should be committed as much as the girls to this whole experience. Yes. So I'm aligned with you on that one.
Yeah,
that
so one, they, you know, like I said in one of my videos, when we're growing up, me and my sisters were in the kitchen, we're cooking, when, you know, my brother is there, you know, playing around. Then when food is ready, he comes and he eats. And then it's like every little thing, oh, yeah, woman, is that how you're going to be taking care of your husband? You have to do this to take care of your husband. It's like they spend so much time.
That's my problem with that statement. They say things like, you know, take care of your husband. I'm like, so who's now going to take care of
you? He's a grown man.
No, but who's now going to take care of you if you, all you're doing is taking care of your husband? And they say, oh, he's going to take care of you by giving you money.
Yeah, I'm and like, I'm like,
why
that's
can't
not
I,
all
why
I need.
Can I have the same kind of treatment? You know, it's like,
exactly.
Why don't you treat me the way I treat you as the way we're taking care of each other?
Exactly.
You know?
So that's one of the Igbo, part of Igbo culture that I'm like, I grew up, I'm like, oh, wait a minute, no. No, especially in America where everybody's working.
Yeah.
You went to work 8 hours. I went to work sometimes even longer. So you can't just come home, expect me to come, ah, baby, food is ready. And then I bring water for you to wash your hands. You eat. I take. No, nobody's your servant, you know? And like I always, because I used to date a guy that
he wants me
to be serving him and doing this because that's what his mother did. I say, I'm not your mother.
You know, that's a very interesting thing, right?
Yeah.
Everybody seems to hide behind what somebody else did.
I'm like, I'm not your mother.
But even that, even in that statement, there's not in that statement that says it was right. When they say things like, oh, that's what my mother did, I always ask myself, okay, so does that statement now mean that because your mother did it, that's the right thing to do. Like,
exactly.
Who validated the right,
exactly.
You know, its rightness in the grand scheme of things, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody works. Everybody has to contribute in one way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. But if you now go ahead and you have a family where it seems like one person is doing this, so the parents are doing the same thing, mm-hmm. but when you now come home, the pile on one side versus the other side, that's the part that I want to scratch my head and be like, I don't know if I can, if I can get down with that kind of.
I know a lot of Nigerian men that believe that it's a woman's job to cook, it's a woman's job to clean, and I get that. Like when a guy is approaching me, he's always like, "Oh, do you know how to cook?" It's like, how does that, you know, what does this have to do with whether I'm a good person?
Yeah, but it's possible too that the guy doesn't know how to cook. So it's like two of us cannot not know how.
I know. But my thing is that that's one thing, the difference between Americans, those kind of things don't bother them. I'm not saying they don't like a woman to cook once in a while.
It doesn't bother them because there's DoorDash and there's Uber Eats.
We're in America, let's do the DoorDash like everybody else.
Let's just cook, ordering food together.
Yeah. But, you know, like I say, I cannot marry a typical African man. I cannot. I need a balance. I need somebody that knows that, okay, sometimes EJ is tired or Adenugu is tired, you know?
Yeah.
That she needs, you know, she went to work and she needs.
But there are tons of African men like that now.
Yeah, there are a lot. I'm not saying that all African men, I didn't say all African men are.
But, okay. Mm-hmm. So, first of all, let's agree on something then. Mm-hmm. The guys or the men that you're describing, not necessarily the ones you've described, but just the idea, we can't say it's the typical. We can't, like, I always feel as though I know more men who are great in the kitchen, who are very supportive. They take care of the kids as much as their wives do, or you can maybe not as much, but you know, they are relevant, they are right there, they are doing the cooking and the cleaning as much. You know, the house is kept a certain way because it's part of their own responsibility. So I know so many of those guys that sometimes I'm like, I don't know that many men who are on the other side.
Oh, I know. Ah, there are too many of them. And some of them have even lived in America for years, but they still have that mentality that a woman is born to cater to them.
So don't you think that is more, that at that point is more of being opportunistic? Like, since everybody seems to say it, there's no proof that this is what everybody does. Because you know that's the thing about generic statements. Everybody will be like, everybody does.
I speak from my own experience. The ones that I tend to meet, they're always, you know, it's like, it's as a woman, this is your job. As a woman, this is your job. But it's not my job. And like I always say to them, I do things for you because I love you and I care for you. But when you start telling me it's my job, that's when I don't want to do it. And you're not going to beat me up. I'm not even married to you to even start with.
That,
you know?
I
cook for you because I want to.
I have to bring this back now. Mm-hmm. Because we've now veered into this whole relationship management thing.
I know.
But if you think about it, that is what people seem to prefer than... That is what people... They feel like being in those relationships where they can try to mold or fix things and repair things is why they would settle in the midst of their loneliness, right? That's really what you were trying to... And I agree with it. It's like, okay... Instead of trying to address loneliness in the light of what it is, they're like, oh, you know what? I'm going to go settle. And if I settle, these things I know are going to happen, right? Because I'm still going to be lonely when all he's treating me like is the house girl or the person who takes care of the house. I'm the one who cooks, cleans, does everything. So, but I'll prefer that than actually dealing with, you know, being appreciating myself or creating my own avenues to actually have my own voice.
Yeah.
You know.
And then, like I said, the danger of loneliness is that when you find yourself in that situation, sometimes people just turn to people that are giving them that attention. Because I've been in situations where I like somebody. It's like you like somebody, they don't like you back. Somebody else likes you, but you don't like the person back. The other person, you know, it's like, you know, the people that you want, they don't want you. And the people that you don't want, they're the ones blowing your phone every minute, you know? And, you know, so, and then at a point, like I've had some friends say to me, why don't you give this guy a chance? You know, give him a chance. He likes you. But I'm like, have you looked at his, you know, his teeth? Like, I'm not attracted to
We're back to the teeth. Oh, God.
I guess I just want to keep on using the teeth.
We're back to the teeth. Okay.
Because I have to kiss you. Oh, and my God. At the mouth.
And that, one thing that we found out in this conversation is how much kissing means to you
and the teeth. It means a lot. It's a very intimate moment.
Oh, my God.
And I don't want you, you know, sticking your tongue in my intestine.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. That's too much. Too much of both. All right. Dingba and Diva segment on Don't Forget to Flush.
Yes.
Don't forget, folks, send us an email at don'tforgettoflushpod@gmail.com. Now they're going to send us emails about lips and kiss and teeth.
Kissing is very important.
Can we please? Okay, thank you.
Yes.
So, Dingba and Diva, this segment, we're going to run it very quickly. You can't answer a question except in an accent of any culture or, you know, any accent whatsoever. Let me try mine. Dingba and Diva. All right. You are Diva. I'm Dingba. And Dingba says, Adair Enugu, so when you think about your mission on Facebook, you on Facebook, or you're on YouTube, or you're putting out these videos. So what is your mission? What are you trying to accomplish?
I'm trying to...
Is that an accent? That is not an accent.
I am trying to...
We'll take that one. That's the easiest one.
I don't have another accent except in Botico or Yibo. I don't know anyone else.
Okay.
I am trying to build a platform where people can be themselves, express themselves, and live their truth.
Huh.
So that's the platform that I'm building.
So you said that the videos will soon have like interviews and like people coming on with you and you guys talking.
You know, the sad thing, I've been so lazy. I haven't really thought about this so much. Like, you know, sometimes.
So wait a second, you're causing all this trouble on Facebook and through YouTube.
I come from work, I'm tired.
You're doing all of this controversy. Like each time I see your post and I look, it's like 24 people arguing about what, and you just coming in there and adding pepper and be like,
I think for me right now it's just something I do for fun.
Okay.
So but
it's
my,
it's
page
fun that is making people think again,
it's something I've been doing for fun, because me, I think the problem that I'm facing right now is consistency.
Okay.
You know, because I'm like, I come back from work, I'm like, I'm tired. Like, I just want to go to sleep, or, you know, like life, you know, it comes into play and all that stuff. So it kind of, because my initial goal was to be releasing videos every week, like okay. every Wednesday. I have not been doing that.
We've not been answering this with an accent, though, just so you know.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. So that's your goal. You were yes. like, I want to be able to bring it up.
So right now, I've been doing it for fun.
Okay.
And, you know, to see where it goes. But I just want my page to be a place where people can just feel
free to speak their truth, really.
Feel free to speak your truth. And no shaming, even though people always shame.
It's always, man, it's, I remember yeah. the epic ones where you were calling people out. Mm-hmm. Like
who did I call out?
You remember that whole incident now with the guy who owed you money?
Oh!
Yeah, you had the whole thing with the guys after. Hey, folks,
no.
you have to follow.
When you borrow money from me, you should not be gaining weight or, wait, you're not like, or traveling.
You're not like 50 cents. Eh? You're like, they should be gaining weight.
They should not be gaining weight. They should not be traveling. I should not be seeing you doing from this trip to
wow.
this trip. No. Hashtag Nigeria. Hashtag living my best life. And then you owe me money. What the heck? Are you mad?
You've now become the 50 cents of the Nigerian.
No. That
community.
One, he borrowed money from me 7 years ago. This, if you see the car oh, insult, one day I woke up. I said, oh my gosh, I'm so broke. Like, and somebody owes me some money somewhere. And
that's the best way to remember when somebody owes you money.
When you're
broke. Like, you're broke. I'm like, where are the people that owe me? Let me do this.
Oh, but anyway, I collected my money, so.
I see you. You collected it.
That's
and,
the best way.
Blocked,
social media.
Blocked him.
No, he blocked me. Oh.
Oh, he blocked you after he paid.
Yeah, because I didn't even put him on blast. I said one Bini boy borrowed money from me 7 years ago.
How many Bini friends do you have? Everybody knows he's the one.
No, I have a lot of Bini friends. I know the person. He knows himself. I said one Bini boy borrowed money from me 7 years ago.
But now people can
ago,
go through and see who blocked who, and they'll be like, okay, you are the one.
I don't even care. But the thing is, I didn't put him on blast. I just said, Bini boy. I say, if I don't get my money in the next 24 hours, my Facebook will have a face. And then he inboxed me.
Straight up. He knew. He knew.
He inboxed me. He said, oh, I'm going to put him on blast like that. I said, 7 years. I haven't put you on blast. You should be happy. Wow. I didn't even put your name.
Epic.
If I don't get my money.
Epic.
So he said, don't insult me because of, you know, he deposited my, because of $500, he deposited my money.
Unbelievable.
And then he said, oh, he even said to me, please go and tell your useless Facebook friends that the Bini boy paid. So I came back and I said, praise the living God. The Bini boy has paid. I've collected my money. What does the
I remember some of the comments in that post where people were like, tag him and tell us who that is.
People right. always come to my page and look for trouble. And then when I give them trouble, they complain.
Well, it seems like you're making your mission happen. You want it to be a platform where people can speak their truth and where people can actually...
Yeah.
And you're right there as a catalyst to make all that happen. So
yes.
to round off, we can't go anywhere without talking toilet seat conversations.
Okay.
And don't forget to flush. We know that some of the biggest ideas, changes in people's lives... information and how they act happens on the toilet seat. So let me ask you this, Ada.
Mm-hmm.
What advice did you give yourself that helped you become bold to become Ada Enugu in that sense? Like this Ada Enugu persona that everyone is like, yo, this is the person you should go to and watch our videos and hear truth. What advice did you give yourself that helped you be bold?
I'll say... I think I came to realize that people are not who they seem to be.
Mm.
So at a point, I'm like, I don't want to be living that life where people tell you something else, their behavior is different.
Mm.
So I'm like, what's the point? And then you keep on lying and, you know, trying to cover the lies, you know, why your behavior
with is more
like,
lies.
Yeah. I'm like, at a point, I'm like, sometimes you outgrow this nonsense. I'm like, I've outgrown this, like, At a point, you come to realize nobody's going to beat you. My mom doesn't even beat me anymore. So
I like how you put anymore at the back. It's not, you know, oh, my mom has never beaten me before. Oh, it's like, oh, my mom, anymore.
No.
You know, after I grew up, I bought my own
teacher.
House.
My mom is a Nigerian teacher. the headmistress for how many years?
So wait, you're the naughty of the twins. Like you and your sister, you are the one who's
completely two different people.
Wow.
We don't look anything alike. We don't act alike. I think I look better. But she's always like, you know, the ugly ones.
She will not be.
She's always like, the ugly ones always talk first. But I'm like, whatever.
So you guys really give yourselves these jobs.
I'm more of gotta, gotta, gotta than her.
Yeah.
She's more of laid back.
She's very laid back, reserved. Yeah.
But the thing is that the difference.
You can tell from the pictures. Like when both of you take pictures, everybody can tell and be like, Ada
I am not a troublemaker.
Ada is the one.
But you know, the thing is that between me and my sister, if my sister also says no, that's it. Don't even bother asking again.
Because she's like, she's
that's it. But me, I would say, I'll cuss you out. And then I'll start feeling better. Then I'll end up doing it. Like in my family, if anybody wants anything done, they ask EJ. They will know that I'll cuss you out, but I'll still do it.
Wow, what a way to live. I'll cuss you out, but I'll do it for you. That's my motto.
They don't even go to my twin because my twin is like, no.
So you are saying go forward. The advice you are giving everyone, in essence, is
live your truth.
Live your truth by telling yourself that
live your truth.
Nobody's going to punish you for being yourself.
The amazing thing about God that I love is the fact that nobody is perfect.
Mm.
All of us, we all have struggles that we're facing every single day. My struggle now is me finding another job and leave my job. And cuss my boss out and leave.
After saying everything you said about trying to hide your personalities from your company, you're here saying that you want to change jobs. Oh, gosh.
I want to change job and move on. But my thing is that we all have, if whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're, you know, there's one battle that everybody is battling with. Some people want to be skinny, but they're fat. Some people want to be fat, but they're skinny. Like some people, I'm like, sometimes I'm like,
yeah, my pot belly. I need to use this pot belly.
Yeah, all of us.
But there's no other place
belly
to put my phone except on my pot belly.
So, so just think of it. My advice to people is like, you might think that your life is not going in the right direction based on what the society expects it to be, or what the measure, you know, it's not measuring up to what society think it should be. But my thing is that everybody is going, even the president, even Obama and his wife, I'm sure they have their own drama that they're going through. Everybody is suffering. There's some people in the hospital, you know, their body parts are being cut off just for them to live. So you're here, you're like, oh, you know, this and this and this. Like, my thing is that just live your life like it's your last day on earth. Because all those people you're trying to be perfect for, you don't know what they're going through behind closed door, you know? Yeah. Especially like I said to my, you know, single friends, I'm always like, yeah, I get it. It gets lonely. You want to marry, you want to have children.
Yeah.
But there's some people also in that marriage that are miserable, that will wish to be in your situation.
Yeah, equally as lonely as well. Yeah. You know,
so just because all of us, we all come out, we post pictures with filter. with filter. You don't know if the filter is covering the black eye they received from yesterday, and you want marriage. So sometimes, yeah, I get it. As human beings, sometimes we give up, we get tired. When you look around you, it seems like everybody else's life is moving forward except yours. Like there's some days I might be feeling so sad. I'm like, oh, today is not a good day. I'll eat all the ice cream in my fridge. I'm sad. And then you log on Facebook. Somebody is getting married. Somebody is having children and all this stuff. And then you're like, God, why is my own? You know, you start doubting God and you're like, why is my life not moving forward? But then when you have to sit back and you say, you know what? Thank you, God.
Yeah.
Because at least I'm alive.
We got to be thankful.
Yeah. At least I'm alive today. There's some people. I have some friends that are going through cancer right now. You know, body parts are being cut off. And all they pray, they say to me, IJ, like if you wake up every day and you breathe, you have to be thankful.
Agreed.
So that's why I started living my best life. I'm like, you know what? All these people that are making fun of you, people like to put you down because, you know, their life is not going well. So they always find a way to put you down and put your ego down. Yeah. So
their own lives, yes. So you've just shared with us the back story to why there is unfiltered Ada Enugu. Because right now it's like, hey, we're going to do this, only one life to live.
See you, boo. Adumibu.
Hey, we'll take it. We'll take it on that note. On that note. So tell people one more time where to find you.
So I'm all over the place. So social media, my Instagram, Baby Doke. You know?
Baby Doke.
B-A-B-Y-D-I-O-K-A-Y.
Baby Doke. Baby Doke.
Uh-huh. Ah, I have to put Igbo in it.
Yeah, which
know?
Means baby is correct.
Baby yeah, the baby good. Is fine.
Ah, she's right there.
It's not my fault. My parents took their time.
We have to agree. You have the right energy.
And then Facebook, my personal page is Adenugu. I guess I'm still debating whether I want to make my Facebook page public because right now it's private.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I'm like, I still want to have that
control or
control of, you know, like my videos, when I post it on my page, I make it public. But like some of my statuses, you know, that are the ones that I write now, I'm like, I just want people
just
within.
The folks who are following. Well, yeah. It's still a way to grow your following. I mean, people want to get on board, they'll just come follow you or
yeah,
you know, get active.
Yeah, so there's just some things I still put in. I'm like, okay, I don't want everybody outside my friends list. And then it's like, I think, and then I have a lot of people friend waiting list.
Wow.
That I'm like, should I add this person? Should I not? Because
wow. I like the fact that you're having waiting list. All of us are still struggling to get many people. Man.
Yeah, and then, you know, so for my blogging, I go by unfiltered-adenugu.
Okay.
But my personal page is Adenugu, just by itself.
Sounds perfect. Well, for me, I'm Namo, N-A-M-O, worldwide, Namo Worldwide on social media. And website is namoworldwide.com. But together, we're very excited to say thank you to everyone who's listened this far, who's been with us on this journey. We appreciate you and we want to sign off very quickly and we hope to speak to you all again soon. So thank you for joining us. Don't forget to flush. Please send us an email. Don't forget to flushpod@gmail.com. That's our email address. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Adada Pepe Soup was just fantastic. By the way, this your house is very... We should do another episode about this building. I don't know, all of you people in Houston, everybody just living in very, very...
You guys to move to Houston, you guys, they do shakara. You say you love East Coast.
We're out. Oh, shit.